Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, Vision for Your Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 7, 2025, and today we're reading from the Big Book, page 83, Into Action, the third paragraph, starting with "There may be some wrongs we can never fully right," and ending with "We don't crawl before anyone." Our readers. So we have for the 12 steps, we have Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Jen P, reading the text is Lynn F, page 164 is Anieta R, our backup readers, Katie G, newcomer greeters, Nilan P, second hour host is Roz G, and announcements is Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, March 6, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,229. That's 22,229. 10 a.m. meeting is 22,230. That's 22,230. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through shared experience, strength, and hope who are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision Book Study, our message is that those people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Jen P. with the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning, Russ. This is Jennifer P. from New Jersey. Grateful to live in the solution today. The 12 traditions. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Tradition two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition 6, an OA group up never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 8, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I'll pass.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Tenzin. Appreciate that. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study and into action. And we are on page 83, that third paragraph, starting with, there may be some wrongs we can never fully right, ending with, we don't crawl before anyone. And Lynn F. is going to start us off today.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, family. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would write them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. This paragraph is really leveling of my ego and will. And thank goodness the directions tell me, you know, that I need to consult with others before I do this. I need to work with sponsorship, wise people, and wise people to know how to proceed in my amends. And this paragraph also, to me, one sentence here is just so weighty. It could be a whole meeting on each sentence. For me, the last two lines are really powerful. We should be. And it tells me how to behave and the right attitude, sensible, tactful, considerate. I can't get there. While I'm eating, I can't get there while I'm raging. I need to be there in recovery with accountability. And the other part, as God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. The book's eliminated all the different ways in which we may or may not have harmed folks. And when we're ready to make those amends, we can stand on our feet. It's the gift of recovery. We're able to look everything we've done square in the eye and make the amend, to right the mess, to right the wrong. It's not just saying I'm sorry, but it's turning to God and changing my behavior. And that's probably been the most leveling part of my recovery, to be willing to change and then to say, yes, God, I'm here. I'm your daughter. I'm ready. And I can't do that while I'm holding on to anything. I also love the idea about postponement. There may be a reason for postponement, but it doesn't tell me I can't be ready. I can be ready. And what does that look like? I have the amend. I have the script. It's in my pocket. I'm praying for that person every single day until it comes. And it's on God's time frame. And that's what I have today. Thanks, Russ. Thank you all. Have a beautiful Friday, and I'll pass.
All right. Thanks, Lynn. I appreciate it. So now we're going to open up the line for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. What I need is your first name, first initial of your last name, where you're calling from. So
Hanayeta from Texas.
Okay. Hanayeta.
Cameron B.
Hold on 1 second. Texas. I got you. And
Robin M. North Carolina.
Okay.
Robin
hold
B.
On.
Costa Rica.
Janet B. Robin, but there was someone before that. It was before
Ann
Robin.
M. North Carolina.
Ann M. Let's see. Okay. Who else?
Ann F. Deanna.
Ian. Plenty more room. Who else? All right, let's get it rolling. So we got Hanayeta, Janet B, Robin P, Ian M, and Ian F. Hanayeta, you're up.
Okay. My name is Hanayeta, Chanayetta. I just don't pronounce the C. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by the grace of God. I'm in remission. So this paragraph is our stepping stone to step 10, basically. And we are right above the promises. We get the promises next week, and so we're like right smack, right at the end, you know. Right, you know. And it's for me where it says we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, humble. That means we should have good sense. We should have keen sense of what to do and not to do. To maintain relationships throughout the whole thing, and make sure you don't step on people's feelings. And we should do that without being Seville or scraping. And Seville, I looked up, and it's, you know, befitting a lowly position. We don't want to take a lowly position. We're not lower than others. We're equal to people. And scraping, you know, we don't want to crawl. We don't want to gravel. We're God's children, and being in God's children, then we don't have to crawl before anyone, it says, no one. And then it does go on to say, if we are painstaking about this, so what does that mean? I just this morning looked up painstaking. It says involve diligent care and effort. So we have to be diligent about this part of our work. We have to give effort, lots of effort. And step 9, we have pages and pages of step 9, because it's really, really important to know how to do it, how we go about it, who are we supposed to talk to, all of these different things. I mean, it's outlined amazingly in this book of what to do in step 9. And if we do all of these things, then we get the promises. And they start coming true before we even start. Mine did. I got promises way before step 9. But step 9, I really felt them a lot. And I used to be a person with an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. So people saw all this pride and arrogance and whatever it was they saw, I don't know. But inside I was shriveling up and I had no sense of being a good person at all. But after step 9, I could really see a difference in myself. People in my family don't come out and tell me, oh, you're doing such a good job. Other people have in the program. Thank you, Russ. But I'm going to tell you, it's a great way to live. And I want to say hello to the newcomers because you're the most important person here, people here, because we can't keep what we have unless we give it away. We've got to have you. Thank you, Russ, for your service. I'll pass.
Thanks, honey. Yeah, the next up is Janet B., followed by Robin P.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. It says, as God's people, we stand on our feet. Well, what does it even mean to be God's people, and why is that so important? And I know back when I was binging, I'm trying to stop, desperately trying to stop and couldn't, I was Janet's people. All I cared about was what I wanted, who I could get to do what I wanted, and how I could get what I wanted the time that I wanted. That's all I cared about. Well, of course I couldn't stop binging. And our book tells us that, like, my problem isn't lack of a good food plan, lack of knowledge, it's lack of power. But I was always, as I was Janet's person, I was only going by Janet's power, and that wasn't enough because this illness was way more powerful than I was. So I came around and I was taught that I had to become God's person. I had to give my life to God so that he could give me the power that I needed. Well, like, how do I do that? Do I just, like, say, okay, God, I'm yours? Well, kind of. Page 62 tells me that, first of all, we had to quit playing God. So that means I have to just start doing what I think God wants me to without worrying about the results. And then I had to realize he is the director. He is the principal, and I'm his agent. So I'm at work. I have a boss. He's the principal. He has work he wants me to do, and I'm the agent. It's simply my job to do what he wants, and then I get my paycheck every other week. But here it gets even better. We're not just impersonal agents. Our book tells us, page 62, he is the father, and we are his children, the beloved children. So what it is, here's how I became God's person. I just said, God, basically, you are everything. And that doesn't mean like God is my pen or God is my cell phone. It means, God, I give you all of me. I give you my time. I give you my food plan. I give you my relationships. I give you my integrity. And I will try and do your will as best I can. And in exchange, please give me the power to not have to binge. And you know what? It worked. And look what it says here. Not only do we get that, but we get all these other things. We learn how to be humble. We learn how to be useful. It is the most wonderful thing to become God's person because, first of all, he removes our food obsession. And honestly, that's just his opening act. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Jen. Next up is Robin P., followed by Ann M.
Hi. Thanks so much, Russ, for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, I didn't have anybody that on my list that I needed to postpone. And there was it was really challenging to track down a couple of people. And then also my stepfather, I grew up in a lot of child abuse. And so there was just focusing on my side. And, you know, my stepfather had passed already. So I went to a church and I wrote him a letter and I left it there and I felt like he really got it. And that was a blessing for me. You know, so I think there's always a way. When there's a will, there's a way. And I love that it says here, don't be servile or scraping, and we don't crawl before anyone. That was really helpful for me because I had a tendency to want to do that. So I'm very grateful for the guidance. And I'm so grateful that I there isn't anybody that I would cross the street for today. And that's a huge blessing. We're in Costa Rica. We're scheduled to leave on March 18th. And we're going to the U.S., I believe Houston. things keep changing. But for a couple of months because my husband's getting cataract surgery. And then we're scheduled to go to London and for a few months. And, wow, I've really just been having to really work my program. And it's been a really, I think, one of the most emotional times I've had in recovery, for sure. We have these two dogs we've been fostering a couple of years, and there's so many homeless dogs here, and we've tried and tried and tried and tried, and we haven't found a home for them here. And we are taking them with us, and we are seeing if about a home for them in the U.S. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's been so painful. We can't take them to London. They would be quarantined for months. It's just, it would be ridiculous and cruel. So, you know, I just keep praying for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. And I just keep working my program. That's all I can do. And tuning into God and asking God and all, you know, for just reaching up and reaching out. And just praying for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. And not needing to make another ninth amend to anyone. Or any being. So, you know, I'd be really grateful for your prayers. All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it. Next up is Ann M., followed by Ian F.
Hey, this is Ann M., and that's Ann with an E, from Western North Carolina. And I am gratefully recovering. Thank you to everybody who makes this meeting possible. It's a great way to start my day. I was moved to speak this morning to share because I'm one of the ones who came in to program relatively late in life. I was in my late 50s before I finally came into OA and started working the program. And so by the time that I was actively working steps and making progress and making amends, a lot of the things that I remembered, I'd completely lost track. I mean, I didn't even remember names, much less know how to reach out to people. And so it literally, you know, there were some wrongs that I could not right in a literal sense. So my sponsor and I became creative about how to write them in symbolic ways. And that becomes important, to be able to do something symbolically that helps me take responsibility, helps me own up to the God of my understanding, and to be able to clean my side of the street, because that's what it's all about, is to make sure that I'm doing that accountability and that responsibility with the God of my understanding. And so that was a big piece of that, and I'm grateful for the directions in this paragraph for that. The other thing I was moved to say is that it has taken me a long time. I am now 70, and I am still working on standing tall and not bowing before people, because as someone else said, and is true, I find, of many of us addictive people, I was, you know, somebody who looked like I had a big ego, but was major inferiority complex inside. And so I have been working, as I work my program, as I work my recovery, and can truly say that I have strong recovery at this time. Thank you. I am much taller than I did. And one of the ways that shows is that people think I'm younger than I am. And isn't that nice? And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Ann. Next up is Ian F., and then we're going to take another list.
Hey, this is Ian F., compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here this morning. I love hearing these shares. Love y'all. I used to walk around apologizing for everything I did and everything I am. And that was kind of my version of self-centeredness, you know, and manipulation. And I used to think that manipulation was this domineering, malicious thing, but just as true is that the way that I would try to make myself small and apologize for everything I did and put qualifiers on everything I said so that if it wasn't right and I had a way out, you know, that was my way of, because I was afraid, trying to ensure that everybody liked me, nobody had a problem with me. And part of that was because I knew I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. And the process of making amends as opposed to making apologies, which I did a lot, was that I had to take responsibility for what I was actually doing. And because I really meant it, because I actually had to set right the wrong, I couldn't put qualifiers on it. I had to let my actions speak for themselves. And what that does for me is that it allows me to live in the realm of real people, of real boys. Because when we talk about higher power, I am of the belief that all of us are God's kids. We're all God's people. And all God's people are created equal. And I always wanted to be, you know, I needed to be the best. I always need to be the best or I'm not going to be happy. And I always pretty much feel like the worst. But what this text says is, like, you're neither. And I have experienced this a lot when I share on meetings, whether I'm speaking or just, like, sharing now. Nothing I say, no matter how profound or stupid it is going to make me better than anybody else in the room or dumber than anybody else in the room. And that's the principle by which I live. I go out, I try to be tactful and considerate and humble. And I trust that I'm going to be the person that God made me to be. That's all that I can be. And that's all that we're asked to be. And that's the beauty of it. That's all we have to be. So that's what I got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
All right, Ian, thanks a lot. So we're going to grab another list for sharing. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Now others to share. I need your name, first name, first initial, the last name, and where you're calling from. Who's up?
Lisa O.
I think it was Lisa O.
Nicole S.
I'm Nicole. Yeah. Who else?
Larry K.
Larry. You guys are taking it easy on me today. Come on, there's plenty of space.
Chris
and,
G.
Chris G.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Is that Mary?
Mary Lee R.
Mary Lee R. Oregon. We could take a couple more, two more. All right, let's just do this list. Lisa O, Nicole S, Larry K, Chris G, and Mary Lee R. Lisa O, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Lisa O. I'm calling from Western Mass. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And the part that strikes me in this paragraph is that it says, well, we don't delay. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases. Well, for me, this was a couple years ago. I had an aunt that it took me a long, long time to see my part. I was so focused on what she did and how she treated me. And through working with the sponsor at that time and doing my step work, I was able to see that to stop looking at the actions and just start looking at my part, you know, how my actions impacted her. But it was COVID, and she lives in Maryland, and I live in Massachusetts, so I could put it off because I really didn't want to do it. But again, through prayer, talking to others, working my program, talking with my sponsor, I realized, no, I need to own my part. I need to make amends and apologize. But it was so important to do it in person that I just didn't want to just write a letter or make a phone call. And so I know this word can be controversial to some people, but I did a living amends. And then so for 2 years, I would make a point to call her. I would make a point to send her a card. I would make a point to email her. You know, just do some of those things to slowly change the relationship and just make things a little bit better and try to make amends for my part, my harmful actions and my harmful words. And it was, I think it was about 2 years I was able to go to Maryland and sit down with her and meet her. And just, it was like a weight that was lifted off my shoulders that I didn't even know I really had. It was just such a wonderful thing. And I think for me in this particular relationship, those 2 years of, you know, making that living amends was really helpful for her to be open to my apology and for me to just let everything go. And so I'm just so, so grateful for this program and all of you who did service to help us along this journey. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. Next up is Nicole S., followed by Larry K.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm recovered in Colorado. I'm service this morning. And this paragraph just reminds me, I put my best foot forward in amends, and then I've got to let go of the results. And me being so codependent and having such a hard time when people don't like me, because I want to make an amends, I want to just what I call an amends is just saying sorry, and then the person saying, oh, it's fine, everything's all right, so I can feel better about myself. But I have to put my best foot forward and then let go of the results. That's up to God. And, you know, where it says being sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, but not being servile or scraping. And I can very easily be servile or scraping when I've, I'm doing a 10th step or 11th step, I've done a harm, and I can just apologize, 50 times over and over and over because I just feel so bad and I want to get an effect. And so, that's being that servile or scraping, and I'm God's people. And, as God's person, I'm imperfect and I make mistakes. And, that's why, this wonderful program has these steps where I can clean them up, but I don't have to just be, servile or scraping the whole time. I make a mistake. If there's an amends that needs to be made, I make it and I move on. And, I can stand on my feet and I can stand proud as being God's servant. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Nicole. Next up is Larry K., followed by Chris G.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. This paragraph is a good guidance, and we need a good guidance from a good Sherpa, a good sponsor that's taken this road, and maybe a number of people. In this process, I accountability is a deeply powerful act. It's a deeply powerful spiritual act. What I'm really doing, for me anyway, is I'm running to God's redemption. Now, whether one accepts God or the higher power, whatever, but for me, I am running to God's redemption when I make these amends. And yes, I'm not servile or scraping, but I need good guidance in terms of this, because there, you know, in some cases there's amends that I can never fully make. But I think one of the keys is just how powerful shame is. Shame is such a powerful barrier to God in so many ways for many of us. And so it's when we make the amends, if we can make the amends, what we're doing is, and it could be helpful to both the actor, the person making amends, it could be helpful to the recipient, but that the intention is that not so much that I'm going to clean up my past as best I can. But there were times when I just absolutely couldn't make amends, or I made them too soon. I remember leaving my very first OA meeting, and of course, because I'm smarter than everyone, you know, I went out and I jumped directly from my first meeting where I hadn't even taken the first step, and I'm going to make amends. I'm going to unburden myself. And I went and I drove directly to my mother's home, and let me tell you what a disaster that was. No guidance. No understanding, no foundation. And then conversely, I can tell you that I thought I was sunk. I thought I was sunk when I couldn't make amends to a particular person that I needed to make amends to. For me, myself, and I, the committee was so sure that making amends would give me freedom from the bondage of this food, because of course I thought that was my problem. And I couldn't make those amends. The person wouldn't allow me to make the amends. And my sponsor told me at that point, as I'd worked the steps, you know, would you if you could? And if God presented that opportunity, would you do it? And of course I would. Of course I would. See, my heart was beginning to change. God was beginning to change the perceptive lens in which I saw the world. And he was going to have more, you know, he was going to have more opportunities to change me deeply, internally. There was a shift in who I was. The whole idea was that of change. Profound change. Of course, I might step on the toes of others in the future, but it doesn't happen nearly as often. And when it does, God gives me a great awareness. If I can't make the amends, that's okay. The timing of it may be something. There may be a reason why I can't make it. But this is a process, a spiritual process of how we learn how to live our life. Thanks, Russ. And when I do that with guidance, the outcome is not as important. It's how my heart has changed. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. Next up is Chris G, followed by Mary Lee R.
Yes, this is Chris G. I live in Tennessee, and I'm thankful for everyone that makes this meeting happen, and for everyone that comes to the meeting and participates. So there's a lot of time spent on this couple of pages in this book. You can't read the book and miss this instruction. And this instruction, it means making it personal, making it different between people, and also different between the people that we make amends to. And so how do we get ready to make an amends? Well, one of the ways we can get ready to make amends is to write a script. And that script is different from your amends and other people's amends. It's even different between the people you make amends to. But you write the script as to what you want to say before you even start. And so the reason we want to do it quickly is because that is where the sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble person comes from. Is that's what happens after you make the amends. And so you want to do it quickly to get to that. So what stands out to me in this paragraph is
there may be a valid
reason for postponement, and there, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. So we don't delay if it can be avoided. That's important, because otherwise, I would never make the amends if it could be avoided. So we don't delay, and we look directly in the eye. So we can't do it directly in the eye through a letter and a phone call. If we can, We want to look them directly in the eye in person. So all of the amends are individual and turn out individually. And there's the perfect amends for each individual person. But we don't have to be perfectionists. We can be satisfied with what happens. And so we want to be prepared and do the preparation. And then we want to make it happen as soon as possible. And so that's what I read into this. And I thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Next up is Mary Lior. And then we'll be able to take a few more.
Good morning. God morning. This is Mary Lee R., recovered just for today with God's grace and mercy in Eugene, Oregon. I had some similar experiences to what I've already heard in the meeting of coming into program and then immediately making, attempting or some sort of, you know, confessing that I did this and wanting to make it right. And eventually, after some time and some guidance, those did get made. And the one that was seemed to be the hardest for me was my mother, and I felt like she had abandoned me by sending me far away at kindergarten and some other things. And it wasn't until after she had passed and I realized she was in the situation that she was in, she did the best she could with what she had. And so with my sponsor's help, I wrote a letter and I took it to the cemetery. And I sat down and I read it to her. And all of a sudden, after I was finished, there was this mini rainstorm. And it had not been raining where I lived at that time for a very long time. We were in a drought. And it just felt like God kisses to me. And I just, I just realized that there's so many blessings in this program. And I had an opportunity a day ago. I play cards. I play bridge, and I'm known as a killer bridge player. And actually, Miss Know-It-All bridge player. And my partner didn't do well. And out of my mouth came, why didn't you and do this and do that? And I just felt bad. I know that I don't like to be told what to do in those kind of situations. And it was just, it felt so freeing to be able to go to her place and to tell her that I was sorry that, you know, I was having that attitude. So I'm asking for blessings. A week from yesterday, I'll be having a surgery on my left shoulder, and I'm doing affirmations, and I'm saying that any hand that touches Mary Lee is a healing and helpful hand. And thank you all for being in my life. Bye. I pass.
All right. Thank you. So we have time for maybe, we could push it, try three more shares. And we're on page 83, third paragraph. There may be some wrongs we can never fully write, ending with we don't call before anyone. Who would like it? Let's try three. Let's shoot for three.
Vasa O, Tony B.
Vasa, Tony.
Judith S.P.
And Judith. All right, so Vasa O, Tony B, and Judith S.P. All right, go ahead, Vasa. You're up.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. I loved all the shares that I heard up to this point. anyways, yeah, making amends to others. I needed to have a sponsor to help me in that area. I'm so grateful. It was a friend of mine that knew about, you know, the AAOA, you know. And she walked me through the steps, you know. And I remember when I was early into my steps, like the third, fourth, or the fifth step, I remember saying, how am I going to do this, you know, making a list and then going person to person or whatever we choose to do it. And she said, you know what, you don't have to worry about that. You're not even there. You're not even there, so don't worry. But anyways, yeah, I'm one of those people, you know, I want everybody to like me and love me. And my friend, my sponsor said, well, do the ones that's the easiest with you to do it. Well, I go home from my meeting, and the cat was there going around my legs and meowing. Maybe she was looking for affection, or maybe she was, you know, she was hungry, whatever. And I kicked the cat, not a lot, you know. I just said, get away from me, you know. That was my first amend, you know. But I needed to go through the way they laid out for the more serious amends. And, yeah, we sat down, we read the step, and she told me to get 3x5 index cards, write down the people that I felt I needed to make the amends, plus and right, plus and minus. I wrote brothers, fathers, mother, whatever, you know. And then we met together to see, you know, we went over, and I thought I could make amends to all of them, you know. And then she helped me, you know. You don't have to make amends for somebody that you thought you, you know, like, as long as you didn't do that, like, you didn't hurt them, you know, like, not for your thoughts. You could ask God to remove that thought of ill thinking of somebody else like that. But again, I'm not done making amends, and I've been in this program for years and years, and I screwed up, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And I made amends to these people. I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. It was, you know, I made a mistake. Well, these people, they're mad at me. They're not even calling back to me. I do not have to crawl. I did my job, what I needed to do, and my intentions were not to hurt anybody. And that was the end of it. And I still want to crawl. I just, oh, please forgive me. I'm sorry I made a mistake. Well, you know, if they're not calling me back, if not getting in touch with me, I don't like anybody to hate me. Oh, please don't hate me. Love me, you know. Well, no, not everybody's going to love me. And not, you know, again, they're sick people like I am. But I'm less doing any of the, I'm less to make amends today, you know, because I tried to be good. I tried to be good before, but I screwed up. But anyways, thank you for letting me share, Russ, and everybody else. God bless.
Thanks, Vasa. Next up is Tony B, followed by Judith S.P.
Thank you, Russ. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Great paragraph, great shares today, and thanks for everybody making this meeting possible. So what came to my mind was how I want to move on and be useful to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people around me. That's the purpose of these steps. And, you know, I don't worry. It's important that I don't, because if I do, I diminish my usefulness if I'm worried and anxious and feeling shame and remorse. So, yes, I want to clean up and make amends to the best of my ability. However, my attitude is the important thing. My intention is to honestly clean up and right wrongs with God's help. And good enough is good enough for now. You know, I move on. The next actions, keeping on doing 10th steps, keep confessing my shortcomings to my fellows and to God, and doing my best. This is a lifelong process. And then turning my thoughts to others. That taking responsibility, I certainly had the experience of it allowing me to stand on my feet, this process. I did get a lot of help from my sponsor and going, saying what I was, you know, what my purpose was, what I was doing. It did have that sense of really, really standing tall. But yeah, I just wanted to make the point, worry doesn't help us. We're told in step 11, you know, we turn to God, we pause, we ask for the right thought or action, and we're then in much less danger of of worry, self-pity, foolish decisions. Worry is a great robber, and there's no need for it through any of the steps, but it's very easy for me to wonder, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? This needs to happen in order for everything to be okay. No, relax. It's all in the action. Thank you for letting me share, Russ. Love you all. Bye now. I pass.
Thanks, Tony. Next up is Judith S.P.
Hi, my name is Judith S.P., calling from Maryland. Excuse me. Thank you, Russ, and everyone who has come before me. This is into action, and steps 1 through 8 have brought me to step 9, and here I am. There's a long period of reconstruction that takes a lot of energy. I'm so ready to do it. And this life, spiritually, is not a theory. I have to live it. In many of the steps before this, I have done a lot of thinking, writing, discussing with sponsor and other fellows, sharing in meetings, listening. Well, here I am, the rubber meets the road. And my parents are gone. I've done amends to them, but there still is sadness in my heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could hug them and connect with them around my amends? No, too late, Judith. I was in my disease, in my relationship with parents, in my disease with my relationship with my children who are now adults. I can't turn back the clock. But what doing these amends provides for me is walking through the pain and the fear and the difficulty with God, guided by my sponsor, to now be able to know in my moments now, I want to be the person that God created me to be. When I do something or act in a way that's less than godly, the ripple effect keeps carrying. And most importantly, in terms of the amends I've done with other people, is to honor all of them, to make the reparations in my actions now, in all my affairs. So I no longer have to feel the guilt. I still feel the sadness, and that's okay. That's a living amends to myself to say, Judith, now it's time to take the directions of sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, along with the code of love and tolerance, and do the best I can with each moment. And that can only come in my quiet listening to God for direction and praying and asking God when I don't know what to do. So with that, I pass, and this is a wonderful opportunity to keep reconstructing and actualizing the spiritual theory into my life moment by moment. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Judith. We have time for like a minute and a half share, if anybody would like that. Anybody want to have at it? All right, now we're getting down to a minute.
I can share real quick. Kathy J. in Illinois.
Go ahead.
Compulsive overeater. Thank you. Step 9, made direct amends. I did read my letter to my mom at the grave, and it did, you know, there was this wind that blew through the trees. It's just anybody I made amends to worked out. I think there was one person who in the long run, it didn't, you know, like restore the relationship, but some of the relationships are not meant to be restored. They're only meant to be healed and, you know, settled and working things out. That's the point. It's not to just be like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Being sorry and is different than willing to change. It doesn't say in the steps, became willing to be sorry. It says became willing to make the amends. And just being brave and getting support is what leads to me having relief from that conflict that's buried inside. So yeah, just digging out the gunk and being, you know, by nine, I'm willing to change, and I'm still a progress, work in progress. I lost my temper twice in February, and I remember it, and I made amends. I went to work it out, and then we can all be settled. Thanks. But that'll pass.
Thanks for taking us out there, Kathy. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please stay tuned for our second unrecorded hour of study right after this, right after the closing. So today's share ID, Friday, March 7th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,232. So it's 22232. And I've asked Hani Etar to read the closing, which is A Vision for Your Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only.
I'm sorry, Russ, I closed my book. What page is it again?
164.
164. Okay. Beginning of one set, A Vision for You. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know little, only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation that you can do each day, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. The great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until